Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call talks with the people in Charlottesville and Albemarle County who are making a difference. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. Thanks for listening. And you should be listening because we're going to make you hungry. It's the Sunday before Restaurant Week here in Charlottesville. Restaurant Week this year, January 24th to February 1st. Start making notes. Flex those finger muscles. January 24th, February 1st. A variety of restaurants in the area, but here telling you about what's on their menu, answering some questions about the excitement of the restaurant world. We have the new River Birch restaurant. We have Trish Dombrowskis from River Birch, the executive chef. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Rick.
And thanks for being here. We have Bill Hamilton. He's the owner at Hamilton's.
Hamilton's at First in Maine. We appreciate your inviting us.
And thank you for being here. We have Jabari Wadlington. He's the executive chef at the Route 29 restaurant.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Good morning.
And appreciate you being here. We also have Lorena Cush. She's a marketing and events and front house manager at Fellini's downtown.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
It's always fun to do this show because everybody goes out to eat. People see the menu. Sometimes you have to deal with somebody up front, a hostess, the wait staff. Some places now have the open so you can see what's going on in the kitchen, but you don't always get the thoughts and the process of everything. And I always like having folks here so you can get a little more in-depth from the restaurant crowd. Restaurant Week this year, we're going to talk about what's beyond the menu, and then we're going to get a little more on the other side of things. There's three courses at a Restaurant Week menu. You can pay $29 or $39, and the proceeds from every person who visits a Restaurant Week restaurant, I didn't word that very smoothly, goes to the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank. So make some notes, decide where you want to go. You can go to Seaville Weekly, pick up an issue. You can go to c-ville.com and check out some spaces. Of course, River Birch is a choice. Route 29 is a choice. Fellini's and Hamilton's First in Maine is a choice as well. We'll throw out some others throughout the hour. Who wants to go first? Let's start with Fellini's. What are some of the items on your menu this year for Restaurant Week?
Thank you. We have a lot of our traditional fare, such as our sautéed, not fried, calamari. Also, our Italian meatloaf is going to be there. We've got some of our beef and pork bolognese, spaghetti pomodoro, our rigatoni with mushroom ragu, and then we also have the traditional cannolis and tiramisu that's made fresh daily. So we're trying to give everybody a sample of what we usually go ahead and have on the menu, but also throwing in some extra special things to get a good taste of our weekly specials.
And when we talk about a three-course menu, that means I'm getting an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert, correct?
Correct.
Yes, correct. Yes.
And that's for $29 or $39. And as Fellini's, which side of that are you on?
We are $29. We want to make sure that it's affordable for everyone.
All right. So there we already have one menu that's making me hungry here Sunday. Sunday morning, and it starts on January 24th. You can go to February 1st. A lot of places are requesting that you set up a reservation because you can get the the full have choices from the full regular menu as well at many restaurants, not at Fellini's. Fellini's is only offering the restaurant week.
We're also offering just some a la carte items, but mainly the
Restaurant week options. But if you go to Sevo Weekly and look at their options, some restaurants are offering other choices. Make sure that you're only choosing the restaurant week options when you place your order. Again, so Lorena Cush from Fellini's giving out what's on their menu. We'll also hear from Bill Hamilton, Jabari Wadlington, and Trish Dombrowskis from River Birch. So let's ask some other questions before we get too far along. I'm curious from everybody in the room, and we'll let ladies go first. So, Loretta, if it was a two-course and you could get your entree and appetizer or dessert, what are you going with? Appetizer or dessert?
If I could choose an appetizer or dessert, I would choose dessert every time. Sometimes I eat dessert first. So just in case you don't have room for it, I'd rather have the sweets.
So Trish is going for dessert.
Definitely.
You need the savory and the sweet?
Definitely.
Or you're just a dessert person?
I love the desserts. Cookies are where it's at.
Where it's at?
They're so underrated.
Oh. So you're already answering one of my questions that's later in the hour that we'll get to. Bill Hamilton?
Yes, so I am absolutely the savory guy. I would absolutely trade out an appetizer for a dessert.
Appetizer?
My wife and I opened the restaurant 26 years ago, I should say. But
how many years ago?
It's coming up on 25.
Ooh, but, wow. Congratulations.
But
that's a long time for a restaurant.
She's my partner in this as well.
That is definitely a long time for a restaurant.
Right.
Yes, indeed.
The reason I bring it up is that we're that same opposite, you know, the same dichotomy. She absolutely would take dessert. Definitely the appetizer guy.
Wow.
So,
and that's what it is, sweet versus savory.
Yeah, it's a battle.
Lorena from Fellini's?
I'm definitely a savory girl.
So you're going to do an appetizer as well?
Absolutely.
Jabari from Route 29.
Definitely appetizer. Get it started, get the palate going, and then you can't stop after that.
Wow. So that's 3-1. Well, Trish, I'm not going to let you stay solo because my family does something in the summer. We all go to the beach together, and I mean large extended family. I'm talking like 14, 16 people. And we have Dessert Mageddon where we have competition that week. So you're not the only person in the room who's gonna do dessert. Don't feel bad.
Dessert Mageddon. That was good.
Yeah. But I just felt like you were being left out there. If it'd been 2-2 or something like that. But again, we have Trish Dombrowskis from the new River Birch. Have you opened yet?
We have. We've been open for 2 weeks exactly as of Friday night, so just a little over 2 weeks. And actually, today they're doing brunch without me for the first time. So.
And where are you located? Because in Charlottesville, there are a lot of restaurants, and you can get lost in the scheme of things.
Definitely. So we're located in Pantops area, next to Dardentau Park, right next to the Elk Lodge. And we have a lot of items on the menu that can kind of revolve around for children as well because we're right next to the park. So we definitely welcome kids.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
And thanks for being here today.
Of course.
We also have Bill Hamilton. He's the owner of Hamilton's Restaurant, Hamilton's First in Maine on the downtown mall. We have Jabari Wadlington. He's the executive chef at Route 29, which is in the Doubletree Hotel up 29 North.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Lorena Cush. She's marketing events and front of the house manager at Fellini's, which is also in the downtown mall area. As we talk about Restaurant Week, don't forget, mark it on your calendar. Starts January 24th, goes to February 1st. You get three courses, an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert. Depending on the restaurant, it can be $29. It can be $39. There's some other restaurants that will be participating this year. You can choose, go up to Bavarian Chef. You can go to Maya, Zocalo, also some of the places that are participating this year. 10 minutes after the hour. We were talking about desserts, and Trish, I was going to ask, do people prefer cake, pie, or other? Your dessert is cookies?
I love cookies. Well, I think cookies kind of remind me of my grandma. I like the type of cookies that my grandma would make. And, you know, it's like handheld, so you can take your dessert with you or put it in your pocket.
Bill?
Yes.
What's your, I mean, you've already said that you would prefer an appetizer, but but we're getting a three-course meal here, so.
You're getting a three-course meal. You definitely should partake in dessert, no doubt. But and so we try to play both sides. We've got a cake, we've got a pie, and we've got
sorbet. But what's your choice?
Now, if it were me, I'd do ice cream all day long.
Ice cream.
Yeah. I like that. That's sort of my style.
Do you make one at home? Do you have an ice cream maker? Are you one of the people who has like the homemade ice cream recipe?
I'll be honest that I haven't broken the ice cream maker out of my garage, and I haven't brought it out in many years. No. But I do have one. I do have one with the rock salt and everything. And
what's your favorite flavor?
So I actually like a panna cotta flavor with candied orange and pistachio and fennel. It's about my favorite ice cream with chocolate chips in it.
That's not something you can walk into your local grocery store and find.
No. That's why we have restaurants. That's why we're here.
Jabari? I just wrote pie, cake, or other, and nobody's answered the pie or cake yet.
Right.
I think because you put the other thing. There's so many good desserts out there. I'm an old school classic. I like beignets and sopapillas, the nice traditional old school donuts. The sopapilla with a little bit of honey and some dried chilies, or a traditional Café du Monde beignet from New Orleans is my little go-to. I love ice cream, though, too. It's a good one.
Jabari Wadlington from Route 29 and Doubletree Hotel. I don't know if that's on the menu or not, but people ought to be checking it out. Lorena Cush, Fellini's cake, pie, or one of these awesome-sounding others?
I'm going to actually say creme brulee.
It's a classic,
and it's not super over the sweet, but then you also get the fun part of like cracking the sugar on the top. It's like playing with your food.
Oh, goodness gracious.
And you get to play with the blowtorch too, which is always
fire.
All chefs love fire.
I think is that the difference between being in the back of the house, Bill Hamilton, and being in the front of the house, Lorena Cush?
Absolutely. The pyros are in the back of the house.
Yeah. Oh my, as we talk about Restaurant Week here with our crew today. From River Birch, from Hamilton's, from Fellini's, and from Route 29. And we've already brought out the blowtorch with the restaurant crowd. So while we're talking about blowtorches in the back of the house, let's ask Hamilton's what's on their menu for Restaurant Week that starts January 24th.
Sure. So we are featuring a $39 menu that our team, our culinary team, headed by Hannah Mosters, put together, and it really looks great. Some examples for starters are a caramelized sun-choke bisque, a really nice prosciutto kale, pickled fennel salad, blue crab brandade, going into a nice local hanger steak with a carrot radish salad, ancho barbecue sauce, local rainbow trout, and a really beautiful fried pork chop with house-made sauerkraut and apple mostarda, just a sampling. I should, since we've talked about desserts, go, we are going to have a ginger hibiscus sorbet and a white chocolate matcha tea Swiss roll and a roasted pear and apple tart with goat cheese ice cream. Yeah, that's going to be good.
So when do people start taking reservations for this? I mean, here we are today talking about it, and today's the 19th. So
they're doing it now. They've done it. Yeah.
Everybody's been taking reservations already. Lorena said for a week. So everybody's busy are you? Are they filling up? Are the Fridays and Saturdays, 75% full, 100% full? Where do you stand? If I wanted to call up and say, hey, can you get me this Friday at 7 o'clock? Is everybody going to be able to take me? Is somebody going to turn me down?
We probably would suggest a different time frame. I would say we are probably about 50% full, but at 7 o'clock is usually when everybody wants to come to dinner.
We actually have a second dining room, so we have a good opportunity to fill up our other dining room. We have a bar, dining room A and dining room B, and dining room B is really interesting because it's open concept to the kitchen for us.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's been taking reservations. We still have room for you, so if you want the best spots, sign up early.
There you go.
Same here. Yeah, definitely. If you're going to make a reservation, I usually would suggest doing it either midweek or in the beginning. I always notice towards the end of the week, that's when it's literally super congested. Everybody does the last minute. They just realize restaurant week. So usually the last 3 days is usually crazy. We usually get a nice little pocket in the middle of it. So if you want to make reservations, I definitely recommend making reservations towards the middle of the week. You have a better chance.
Again, we are talking about Restaurant Week. It starts January 24th, goes to February 1st. As you've already heard from the menu at Fellini's and the menu at Hamilton's First in Maine, there are two cost levels, $29, $39. Obviously, our group here today is participating. That's River Birch, Hamilton's First in Maine, Route 29 in the Doubletree Hotel, and Fellini's. There's a couple others, many others participating, but we'll mention Fig Bistro and Bar, as well as the Mill Room. So, quick question before we take our first break. What's the fast food item that you long for? As people who work at really great restaurants serving, sort of quality food items, and, people don't think of you as wanting to run out and pick up your 99-cent food through the drive-through. Jabari?
I would definitely go with pizza or a hot dog. Hot dogs, really, you can do so much with a good hot dog, especially there's so many good places that are doing hot dogs and they're all beef or an alligator hot dog or
that's
put a little foie gras on there.
Alligator hot dog. Alligator hot dog is not a fast food item, dude.
Oh, it still cooks like a hot dog. Or pizza. Pizza's always a good one.
Lorena?
Mine would probably be cheese fries.
All right, I'll let that qualify. Trish?
I love tacos. Tacos are completely where it's at for me.
And Phil Hamilton?
I have to concur with my mate here. Tacos all day.
All right. Let's take our first break. And we'll come back and talk more about Restaurant Week. We still need to get the menu from the new River Birch restaurant and Route 29. And I want to talk about the stigma of what's become the stigma of being a restaurant in a hotel. So hang tight. And welcome back. So, talking about Restaurant Week here and Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Don't forget, when you do Restaurant Week, proceeds benefit the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank. You can find out who's participating by picking up issues of SeavilleWeekly.com. We've got Hamilton's First in Maine here today with Bill Hamilton, one of the owners. We've got Route 29 restaurant from the Doubletree Hotel here with Jabari Wadlington, who's the executive chef. Fellini's restaurant, Lorena Cush, is here, marketing and events front of the house manager. And the new River Birch restaurant with Trish Dombrowskis, where she's the executive chef. And Trish, we haven't done your Restaurant Week menu yet. Why don't you tell us about that?
So we are also in the $29 point range. Our menu is a little bit smaller. This is actually my first Restaurant Week for this area, so I'm pretty excited. I'm not originally from Charlottesville. So we have a really beautiful brick oven that we do quite a few things in. But for our appetizers, we have a choice of two pizzas. One is a margarita and in the pretty traditional sense, and then one we call the Fun Giza. I have a pretty amazing pizza chef, Ian, and he thought he loved the idea of a Fun Giza. And then for our entree, we have a beef brujol, which is a flank steak that we'll stuff it with pesto and breadcrumbs and spinach, and then you roll it and you sear it and you braise it in a tomato sauce. For a vegetarian option, we'll kind of do the same thing but with a portobello mushroom, some really nice, beautiful charred rainbow carrots, roasted fennel, which is one of my favorite vegetables that I think is kind of underrated, and a smashed potato. And for our dessert, we have an affogato. We actually, Blue Ridge Coffee Crafters does a roast just for us at River Birch, and we have some really beautiful coffee. So the affogato is like a scoop of ice cream and a shot of espresso, and you're meant to pour your espresso onto your ice cream, and it comes with a fun little cookie, so, because I love cookies.
Very nice. It sounds delicious.
Thank you.
I'm curious if anybody has their most embarrassing moment at the restaurant that you're willing to share.
Oh, wow. There's so many.
It's a bit of a
Well, it doesn't have to be the most embarrassing ever, but the one that you're willing to share.
Gonna have to take some time to think about that one.
I fell in a walk-in this past summer. I was walking like up the little ramp to go into the walk-in, and when I slipped and fell, I like did the splits, and half my body was out of the door and half was in, and I just laid there and laughed, and my staff came running over. They're like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Just leave me. I'll be fine."
All right. Let that one percolate for a moment. Come back to that. I appreciate you doing that one, Trish. I'm curious. So everyone who's been in the kitchen, and Lorena, I'm not sure if you've been in the kitchen before your current role, and Bill, I'm sure that you have done this before owning. What's your favorite spice to work with?
Well,
no fair answering salt, which I got out of
right.
Jerome from Bavarian Chef 1 year.
No, my go-to really is smoked Spanish paprika. Yes. Just love it. Yes. Probably overuse it personally a little bit, but it's definitely my favorite.
Excellent.
Followed by ground coriander.
Oh, so very nice.
I would definitely go ahead. Ginger is probably one of my go-to. Dried, fresh, ground up. You can use it savory. You can use it in desserts. It's used in a lot of Thai food, Caribbean food, North African, West African, Cajun. So I always, that's probably one of my go-to spices next to coriander.
I would say that mine would be oregano and garlic. I grow oregano at home, so I use it fresh, and then I dry it to use throughout the year, and then garlic just goes great with everything.
I'm on the smoked paprika bandwagon, but I do love, for a blend, I really like za'atar a lot.
Mm. All right. Again, we are talking with four folks from local restaurants. This is Restaurant Week coming up soon, beginning the 24th of January. Proceeds benefit Blue Ridge Area Food Bank. You can get three courses. That's an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert for either $29 or $39. You can find the restaurants that are participating by going to Seville Weekly's website, c-ville.com, or picking up one of the current issues. River Birch, Hamilton's First in Maine, Fellini's, and Route 29 are here today. You can also find the Fitzroy, Orzo Kitchen and Wine Bar, and the Shabin are also participating this year. Jabari Wadlington from Route 29. Route 29 is in DoubleTree Hotel.
Correct.
Talk about the change in what it's like to run a restaurant out of a hotel. I mean, in the old days, and you mentioned this before we started, that was a great place to run a restaurant. That was where people went to consider that a fancy place to eat.
Right.
Not so much anymore.
Yeah, I think the stigma has changed a lot, and I think what people need to understand, you do run into different corporations where everything could be a little cookie cutter in most places. Hence, DoubleTree being a full service hotel, we usually have to complement with a full service restaurant. Our kitchen is probably bigger than most kitchens in the area, so we can do absolutely anything from scratch, no matter the size. If we wanted to bring a half cattle in there, we have the space for it. So the big thing people need to understand is that even though it's a hotel, we have 200 plus rooms, we do feed them as well, but at the same time we have a multitude of different liquors. Our menu is fresh. We have room and space to create anything and absolutely anything. And when you have a full service hotel, when a guest comes in, no matter where they're coming from, we have to be able to accommodate them. So if somebody says they wanted shrimp and grits, we can make it happen for them because we have the space, we have the inventory to be able to take care of them. So at that, having that repertoire and the space to be able to do that, I feel like a restaurant hotel can accommodate more so than most restaurants.
But has it changed because the hotel business has changed and made it more cookie cutter, or because the restaurants in the hotels have just can't keep up with the more independent businesses that have just gotten better?
I would say the same for both answers. One is the cookie cutter, being able to create those numbers for the corporations. And not every hotel, every full service hotel has the room for that. So a lot of times somebody might go to a different full service hotel and they had a terrible meal, and it might have been a select hotel where they're not accommodating like we do. So a lot of times people won't understand that. Like, for instance, the Hilton has some Michelin star restaurants in their hotels. But a lot of people wouldn't realize that. So a lot of times restaurants will even try and separate themselves from the hotel when it comes to the marketing aspect to make people realize that there is a nice restaurant inside the hotel. Yes, we do serve free breakfast for our honors guests, but at the same time, we still can put out some crazy cool food at the same time.
Well, tell us what your menu will be with your crazy cool food at this upcoming restaurant week.
So this restaurant week, I decided to take it a little simple. So we're doing some light fare. We're doing a shrimp tempura with a Cajun. What we have a Route 29 sauce, which has a little sriracha, some Cajun spices, and an aioli. Creme brulee as a dessert. We have a bread pudding. We also have a hanger steak with broccolini, followed with a nice pan-seared salmon with a avocado mango salsa. So it's very light, very refreshing. Tried to bring something simple to kind of grab people back in, because it takes a lot. Sometimes you have to pull me in a box because I can go all over the place. Moving forward, so been there for about a couple months now, so training everybody and getting everybody up to speed. We're starting to work with a lot of local, all the farms and local people I worked with before, Albemarle Baking Company, 4P Foods with Local Food Hub, Wayside Produce. We're starting to build those relationships with them, and I feel the best way to reach the community is to support the community. And that's how we will be able to grab people in there. And we have free parking.
is yours of the $29 or the $39
level? We are doing the $29 one.
$29 level. Again, Restaurant Week begins January 24th. Don't forget to make your reservations when you pick your spot. Here, that was Jabari Wadlington from Route 29 Restaurant. We also have Fellini's and Hamilton's First in Maine, and River Birch here in the studio with us today. There's some other places you can find at the at Seville Weekly. You can find Pick Up an Issue. You'll see Red Pump, Three Notched Brewing Company, or a couple of the others that you might consider. Bill Hamilton, Jabari mentioned local connections.
Sure.
And your business is now, you mentioned, coming up on 25 years.
That's correct, yes.
So you've obviously had a lot of local support. And I'm assuming that not all of your foods come from Kansas and California. You're purchasing locally. You have local connections. Talk about that, how you'd be successful.
Right. Well, it's changed so much over the years. We're really blessed to have a great, ecosystem of vendors and farmers and artisans in the area that we, didn't used to have a long time ago. So, in the context of Restaurant Week, I think it's really important for people to, realize and think, about the restaurants in our community and what it means. It's a great opportunity because it's sort of a three-way give. One, we're all participating to give to the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank. Two, all the restaurants are trying to provide a unique value to their customers and to new customers. We all want new customers. That's a great opportunity. But really what I think is most special about it for us, all of us at the table that are involved in restaurants, is it helps people, it helps focus on our independent restaurant ecosystem, and it really is that. And in order for us to have this great asset in the community of all of these great restaurants that offer, fabulous foods, the variety of which is better than ever, it takes community support, and it takes folks coming out and voting with their visits. So Restaurant Week is a great opportunity for people to come out and celebrate that, learn about some new restaurants, and come in and appreciate a value at the same time.
Well, while we talk about local, does anybody here at the table personally or representatives from your restaurants go to the market downtown on Saturdays to shop for vegetables, et cetera?
That's actually where I found some of my vendors in the past. Like, for instance, Mush Love, which is out of Charlottesville. It's Nina's just starting out as a mushroom farmer, and it's probably the most beautiful mushrooms I've ever seen in my life. She wild cultivates, so she grabs the spores from the wild and cultivates them herself. And the exotic breeds of mushrooms that she puts out is absolutely amazing. Pork farmers I've been able to just build relations with, and then having them in the restaurants, wherever I'm go, whatever restaurant I'm at, I always bring them with me. So I think the farmers market has always been an excellent outlet for chefs to just find new farmers out there that are just trying to make ends meet.
Yeah, it's one of those, your dollar then goes somewhere else and somewhere else and somewhere else.
It's leveraged. Down the line. Absolutely.
Yeah. Again, we are talking about Restaurant Week, where your proceeds benefit Blue Ridge Area Food Bank. But as Bill Hamilton just reminded everyone, it actually, your proceeds go way beyond that into the local economy. And so if you're considering participating by visiting one or two or three restaurants because it's your favorite, because it's one that you have never been to before, please look at the menus and take a chance, or spend your dollars and make your reservation and do so soon.
Can I tag on to the
please
local?
Please do.
The local aspect of things I do think is very important to support your local economy. We do work with the food hub as well. We get beautiful salad greens from Skylar Greens. We work with the Spice Diva in town, so she provides us some really interesting and fun things from her as well. But I do think that's really important, and that was a huge part of our concept was the local, supporting the local economy and all of the beautiful things that we can grow and cultivate in this area.
Yeah. It's 39 after the hour, so that I don't get cut off with replies to the questions, we're going to take our break now and be back in just a moment. Hang tight. And back in action here. Thank you for tuning in on the Sunday before Restaurant Week. Make sure you've made notes on your calendar, January 24th to February 1st. You can go to Burton's Grill, maybe go to Bang, maybe go to Commonwealth Sky Bar, but definitely give a good look to River Birch Restaurant or Route 29, Fellini's, Hamilton's First in Maine, because they've taken the time to come down to Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, where we've got Trish Dombrowskis and Bill Hamilton, Lorena Cush, and Jabari Wadlington here telling us all about the restaurant scene, what they like to eat and cook with. Only Trish has answered that embarrassing moment. Anybody had any more thoughts about that? Jabari?
If you could call embarrassing when, especially as a chef, when you're trying to put out and a good example for your cooks, I think whenever I burn something, I always find it to be embarrassing. Because I'm not supposed to be burning. So, but it also is a little humbling at the same time to know that we're chefs. We're not perfect either.
That's a good answer. I'll take that. What does everybody do in your day off? Because, Jabari, how many days a week do you work?
Six, sometimes five.
Yeah. Bill, as the owner.
And we, yeah, so I generally work 6 days.
Yeah.
I have a couple of other businesses in town, too. So.
Trish, you're now opening this place, so my guess is you're probably still working seven.
Yes, but this week I'm working six. But my day off, I'll probably take a lot of phone calls and work on schedules and menus and maybe get a nap.
And Lorena, how many days a week are you working?
Pretty much I'm working 6 days a week.
Okay, so what do you do on your day off?
Well, nap. Laundry, you know, household chores and duties, maybe watch a little bit of Amazon Prime, you know.
Because, you know, a lot of times the restaurant world is your 6 days a week are 10 to 12 hours a day. So is it just catching up on your household duties? I mean, Lorena has mentioned doing laundry as a thing. Does anybody do anything fun? I mean, is there something that you want to do? I'm going to a movie every day off kind of thing.
I usually take the time to spend time with my kids. I have a 2-year-old and a 7-year-old, so try to spend as much time with them, take them to the park, or just kind of spend time with them. Because a lot of times when I'm working 12-plus hours, I'll usually see them in the morning. By the time I get home, they're already asleep. So right. Usually on the days off, I take the time to spend time with them.
Bill?
Well, I'd love to say that I could fish and play tennis every time, but I agree. You know, it's just a lot of the time it's just family time and catching up on household stuff. That's important too. It's all downtime, so recharging.
What are everybody's thoughts on celebrity chefs and TV cooking shows? Have these helped the industry cause trouble? And then there's the cooking shows that are non-celebrity chefs, just, you know, where they just bring in random people to cook. But what are your thoughts on this?
It helps. It also turns people into foodies. I've been on a Food Network show before, and it helps with the marketing of the restaurant wherever I'm at. But at the same time, it makes it a lot more difficult as a chef because now people are expecting a certain type of food when they go out. Or, for instance, now they're an expert on truffles because they saw it on TV, but they never had it before, you know, and then they're like, oh. So a lot of times it can be a little frustrating with how the industry has kind of changed, and it does make the guests a lot more educated on the product. So there's not a lot of room for, failure, because they will catch you and they will let you know.
So I kind of look at it from a little bit of a different aspect. I kind of think that maybe it glamorizes restaurants a little bit more. For staffing purposes, like when it comes to hiring staff and like kids that are coming out of culinary school, I think that it kind of glamorizes the industry a little bit for them. So maybe they don't realize that it's going to be as much work as it is at the end of the day, or everybody graduates culinary school and they think they're going to be on Food Network after that. And that might not be the most realistic expectation.
Bill?
Well, I think there's obviously a variety of these sorts of shows, and I think ones that are informative create value for folks, consumers and restaurants. I think the mean-spirited ones, you know, like a lot of reality, I could do without that.
I agree.
But, Jabari, you used the word foodie. I'm curious what everybody thinks when you hear the word foodie.
Overused.
Yes.
Yeah. Overused?
I think it's overused, and I don't necessarily know if I really understand what it means to be a foodie. I mean, I guess you love food, and you want to try all these different, maybe extravagant things, but I don't... What does a foodie mean, Bill?
Well, it is kind of an overused term. You know, I think it really is a golden age for home cooks especially, but also restaurant consumers, because they have access to so much information, so many specialty products that they didn't use. You used to not be able to get thousands of great recipes at your fingertips now. So, you know, that's great. It really is a golden age. And so there are a lot of foodies out there, but just as a term, I think it's maybe a little too broad.
Bill Hamilton here participating in Restaurant Week, which starts in just a few days, actually, 5 days from now.
Yep, next Friday.
Hamilton's first in Maine this year will celebrate its 25th anniversary.
So we're in our 25th year. So our 25th anniversary will be at the end of this year. Yeah. So Valentine's Day.
Give me a little bit of history on Hamilton's, if you take a couple minutes.
You start,
you're in the same building, right? You haven't moved.
Same building, same owners. My wife and I started it, you know, just to give you some context, the area code was still 804. Nobody had a website or email. So, I mean, this is 1996. And there were only about four restaurants on the downtown mall that would be considered sort of white tablecloth at that time. So it was a family affair. We had a six-month-old baby at the time, and it was, you know, we cooked every plate of food for the first 6 months, lunch and dinner. Just it seems like a million years ago and yesterday at the same time. We've had lots of fantastic folks on our teams that have come and gone through the years, and yeah, I don't know really what to say other than it's been a very dynamic time, and we're just grateful to still be here and be relevant.
Have you, I don't want to get too personal if you choose not to answer these, but
I already punted on your most embarrassing question. So, you know.
But do you have people for successful restaurants? Do you have people come up and say, hey, can I buy that from you?
Sometimes. Sometimes I ask them if they have their checkbook on them, so it depends on the day. But I think successful places get approached. And
your design of the place has not been overly redone.
No, we update colors, we update some looks, but otherwise people, you know, gain an affinity for a place, and sometimes it's hard to know what that special sauce is. So we're careful about trying to change too many variables at once. So it's a balancing act to keep things fresh and keep things current, but not overly change things.
Well, it's, you know, I've been in Charlottesville the whole time that you've been open, and I'm happy to have you here. I've enjoyed several meals at Hamilton's First in Maine on important nights of my life, and I've enjoyed every one, and great success going forward.
Well, we appreciate that. It's again, I think everybody at the table will say this too. It's a testament to our people, to our team.
Yeah. Yes.
So. I want to follow that up with having Lorena Cush talk about the history of Fellini's. Because there's some, I'm sure we could talk about some crazy stories there. But
we were there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, some of them probably don't fit into the appropriate hour of the day we are here now. But share some history of Fellini's, please, Lorena.
Well, I definitely won't go into the crazy stories. We don't have enough time for that today. But Fellini's has been a staple in the Charlottesville area for more years than I can count. And most recently it was opened by Jackie Dunkel, who basically recreated it as Fellini's. And I haven't had the opportunity to talk about our chef, which is Chris Humphrey. He is the owner, and he also is the executive chef, and he has been around Charlottesville forever, and he's learned so many different wonderful ways of cooking and styles of cooking from learning from great chefs like Angelo at Ivy Inn, but then also being able to use local farmers, like we've all been talking about, to really showcase what he can sort of get out of his head and put on a plate. And so Chris worked for Jackie as an executive chef for quite some time. And then about two or so years ago, he and his wife, Sarah, decided that it was time to go ahead and open a restaurant. So they took over the reins and have made it into their own Basically creating it to be still Italian, because Fellini's, I think, for the end of time will always be an Italian restaurant. It's just, it's a staple everybody knows. It's cozy, it's warm. In the wintertime, we have the fireplace. We have live music for dinner. We have live music for late night, and that's also been in keeping with Fellini's for the past. It's had a very, very long run, and we've been very, very lucky to have the incredible staff that we have, because without them, obviously, as all of us sitting here knows, without them, you know, the owners and the managers could never, ever make this work. So, yeah.
Again, we are celebrating the start of Restaurant Week here with our guest today. That's Lorena Kush. Events in front of the house manager from Fellini's. A moment ago, you heard Bill Hamilton, the owner of Hamilton's Restaurant. We also have Trish Dombrowskis from the new River Birch in the Pan Tops area, and Jabari Wadlington from Route 29 in the Doubletree Hotel. Just another few minutes left. Aside from those four, you can also find some of the restaurants, Bizou and Whiskey Jar, C&O also participating, Oakhurst Inn. So again, pick up your current issue of Seville Weekly, and you'll find all these menus listed and a few more that I haven't even had a chance to name. If you could, last weekend on Earth, what city are you going to go visit to eat in?
Oh, Lord.
I'm going to Gloucester, Massachusetts, and I am going to eat seafood until I explode. And bread. Good Italian bread. It's my favorite place.
Are we referring to the United States or
anywhere?
Anywhere in the world. Okay. I've got a tie. I would probably say Via Reggio in Italy or San Diego, California. I'm a California girl, and I absolutely, like we were talking about earlier, love tacos. So that would be, and then also I have an absolute dying love for seafood and pasta, so Via Reggio is perfect.
That's a hard question. Been all over the United States and love New Orleans. Being from L.A., I love L.A., but if you had to pick one, I would definitely have to go to either Jamaica, be on the beach, have jerk chicken and rum punch. I'm a happy man.
Bill Hamilton?
God, that's a tough one. That is a tough one. I feel like maybe New Orleans might be on that top
of
the list. Might be.
Bill, as the owner, I'm going to throw this question at you because there's not a lot of time left to get it from everybody, and then I want to go out with a few menu items again. Restaurants throw away a lot of food in a society that has a lot of hungry people, and then we're supporting Blue Ridge Area Food Bank here. What can be done differently?
Right. Well, I think that restaurants, first of all, I think the independent restaurants, smaller restaurants, are, you know, do a much better job maybe than the entire industry. First of all, it doesn't make financial sense to be throwing product out the door. So we're generally, because we have to worry about food costs and are penny pinchers by nature, we're constantly battling to reduce waste. And we do it, you know, even if it was just a financial choice, that's what we would be trying to do. Because of the awareness, I think that, you know, that has allowed local company, you know, that's expanded recycling, expanded local composting. A lot of our staff like to take coffee grounds home to, you know, use as fertilizer and stuff. So, you know, our customers, our staffs, local, you know, again, and local ecosystem, here has made it easier to reduce waste and to give extra food, to people that need it. So I think we're part of the solution rather than a big part of the problem.
Are there state laws or anything that are keeping this from giving it to people who come knock on your door and say, I'm hungry?
there's also
you don't want to get
there's
sued
liability
either.
That
yeah.
you would, sure.
I think what's happened in the past, even when I was at Johnson & Wales, and you want to talk about waste, when you have a bunch of students cooking every single day, the amount of food that got thrown away was incredible. But a lot of times they used to give the food away. And I think it's always because that one person kept it, that one homeless person kept it and got sick, and then they wanted to sue the university to get money. So a lot of times it's just been terrible that we haven't been able to do as much as we would love to, especially in the hotels. I think hotels have probably one of the highest wastes, just if you talk about electricity, water,
yeah.
just running as a whole. So,
all right. Just 45 seconds left. Just one or two items as we go out. River Perch, what's going to be on your menu?
Come try the fungiza and the beef bourgeois and the affogato. It's absolutely beautiful.
Hamilton's?
Well, I'm looking at Hannah's menu here, and I think that I certainly would try the blue crab brandade with fontina and crostini, and the grilled ancho chili marinated hanger steak with sweet potato puree, carrot relish salad, and anchos chili barbecue sauce.
Jabari at Route 29.
I'll do the shrimp tempura followed by the hanger steak and top it off with a nice vanilla creme brulee.
And Lorena at Hamilton at Fellini's.
I would say the fontina, cheese, pimento, and cannolis, and then we also have the rigatoni and fresh-made tagliatelle.
All right, that's Restaurant Week, starting January 24th. Make your reservation now.
Come join us.
Thank you,
everybody.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC-LP, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Engineering assistance was by Mike Friend. The Wake-Up Call is produced by Dan Gould. Show archives can be found at SeavillePodcast.com. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake-Up Call, only on WPVC-LP Charlottesville.